You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Daniel and chapter 2. And in our exercise in studying and refreshing our biblical understanding by way of Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah is Nebuchadnezzar's about to level the city, and his God being encouragement to the remnant who are going to see it and go through it. They are not going to be exempt from it. They're going to be in the middle of it. So here's Daniel in chapter 2. And in chapter 2, verse 28, this is Daniel. I'll read verse 27. And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath commanded, cannot the wise men, astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream, the dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these." And then God proceeds to use Daniel to unfold all that was going to be. And thus you have the image of Daniel and all of the outworking of the times of the Gentiles from Babylon all the way down to the Antichrist. So when you come to the end of that particular setting, picking up, if I can, in verse 44, "And in the days of these kings shall the king of God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Verse 45. "And as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands," in other words, no human, it was all of God, "and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure." So, and we're living, we've already seen all the history. Right now we're in the movement of the feet being of iron and clay, and the 10 toes about to come out, the 10 toes of iron and clay. So our history, we look it back, we see it, Daniel chapter 2, verse 31 and following. All of history. We don't have to guess at it. We could close the Bible and read about it in secular history. We could read about it. Now, the next part of it, history isn't written yet. In verse 45, "But it shall be written." And as you come to the end of verse 45, "the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure." Now, our English word certain has to do what you're certain about something because you have confirmation of the reality of things. So something's really there, locked in. You have enough gas in your car to drive to Hartford, and therefore you're certain. You know something. You're sure of something. So it's certain. Certainty. Certainty makes for surety. Surety is what? When there is no doubt and no hesitancy. Why is there no doubt or hesitancy about all that God is going to do? Why is there no doubt or hesitancy? Because you're certain. God is certain. The facts are certain. Therefore, you have that certainty about the surety. So when you read Daniel 2 and we look out the window at the world system, we are not going to be surprised. It is certain and it is sure. No question. It's there. With that in mind, over to Jeremiah. And in chapter 31. And God promises in his telling, encouraging the Jeremiah and the believer in the midst of darkening days, he encourages them that Jerusalem, which is about to be knocked down and leveled by Nebuchadnezzar, Jerusalem is a sure thing in the future. It looks like you'll never see Jerusalem again. But be of good cheer, it's going to be. And therefore, when you're reading chapter 31, and you pick up in verse 38, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananel and Hananel unto the gate of corner of the corner. And the measuring line shall go forth over against it upon the hill Gareb, and shall compass about on Goeth, and the whole valley of dead bodies and of the ashes where they used to idolatry and sacrifice children and the fat and the blood and the bones, it's all there, as it were. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields unto the brook Kindron, unto the corner of the house gate toward the east shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up nor thrown down any more forever." I am going to go and restore Jerusalem. And I'm going to restore it completely. And once it's done, it'll last the rest until the end of the millennium. It'll last. No one will ever touch it again or knock it down. Titus will knock it down. Nebuchadnezzar knocked it down before him. But no one will ever do it again. Now, in going through that list, Hananel, and if you just go and just think of it, it's a list, and it's 67 square miles. The city. We're looking at the capital, Jerusalem, the city. That's where the capital of the Jerusalem of the Jews of the world, the city, Jerusalem, and in that city. And so you start over in the east there, the coming in through the garden. And you through the door and the temple, and you go circle like this, go down south, go all around like this, and come all the way around Western Bank, come all the way around back to this. It's this circle. That's what verse 38, 39, and 40. It's telling you, here's the circle that God is going to replace. And it's going to have everything that it's supposed to. It's going to be holy, and no one's ever going to knock it down again. That's what's going to be. They got that part? It's easy. You have a map, and you can mark all those little places around. And God tells them, just the physical city is going to exist. Now, having said that the physical city is going to exist, so here's Zedekiah, the last king, probably maybe a year, if that, before Nebuchadnezzar knocks the city down. So they've had 23 years or so, and they've been warned and warned and warned and warned, but no one pays attention. So, and Daniel warned them, and Daniel, and Jeremiah does, but no one pays attention. So the reality is on the doorsteps, 586 BC. It's on the doorstep. Therefore, all the believing hearts ought to be encouraged. God is going to go and take care of that, which today is going to do tomorrow, as it were. Nebuchadnezzar is going to knock it down. But be of good cheer. It's going to be replaced. Everything is going to be put back in order better than the way it was. And the old covenant, Mount Sinai, had to yield to the new covenant as we read in chapter 31, as we've done in the book of Hebrews. It must yield. The Mosaic law must, it cannot make anything work. It can never make anything perfect. It can, the priesthood, the law, it just doesn't work. And it wasn't meant to save, it was meant to contain till Israel would believe and keep, and our Lord Jesus Christ could be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Therefore, God's rule and reign remains. Here's the city, gonna go down. Remember now, we just read in verse 38, 39, and 40 about the city's gonna be wonderfully, wonderfully replaced. They don't see that. They don't see that at all. All they see is what's out the window, what they're going through. That's all they see. So, having telling them that, and God's trying to encourage them, and the city is where God rules and reigns, and they know that, but the city is going to go. So therefore, the character of conditions that's going to make this happen can't be changed, they can't be stopped. The rule, the law, the judgment is set and to take place. So therefore the people need some help. So we read in Daniel, these things are certain and sure. The interpretation thereof is a sure thing. So here's the temple. Now, I need to focus, if I'm back there and we are looking, and here's a city all going to disappear, and temple is going to go down. And we're trying to get encouraged about something, that what we see disappear is going to be replaced in due order, in God's wonderful time. It's going to be replaced. Now, having said that, and looking to that, and the wonderful, wonderful future. Remember what he's been reading, telling, as we've been reading, the believers there are to be encouraged. Chapter 31 and verse 12, you'll remember that during that time, all of the Jewish people and any Gentile people can flow to God like a great river and run to God and look to God, flow fast, powerful to God. Then find what? Find a watered garden. Find what in verse 14? A satiated, saturated, soaked. We did all of these things. God is going to provide an abundant outworking of his goodness, of his grace, of his mercy, abundantly. And they're going to come and feast in it and get soaked from head to toe like a sponge. They're going to get totally soaked in God's goodness. That's what they're going to do. It's a wonderful thing. And he adds the city to it. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. But look what's going to happen. And look where we are. So having said all that and all those wonderful, wonderful things, so therefore, God, we're looking. And in chapter 31, picking up, please, in chapter 31, and if I can. Now, God's going to help them and help us and help them. Okay. So, having said that, in verse 34, remember we did that. Everyone, different in the millennium kingdom, everyone is going, no one has to be told, instructed about God. Everyone is going to know God, and you don't have to teach anyone about God. Everyone's going to know. And we shared all the reasons for that and why it's different, wonderfully different than now. And God's going to do all that. And everyone, from the greatest to the smallest, everyone is going to be able to have a wonderful, wonderful knowledge of God. So now, then, and then the city, but in between, we have verse 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and stars for a light by night. So God's going to go. He's going to go, and he gives the sun, and gives the light by day, the ordinances of the statutes of the enactments of what? Of the moon. And of the stars, that they're fixed. They're fixed. That's the word ordinances, statutes, enactments. They're fixed things. They're fixed in the sky. In other words, the moon that you see out there, or could see tonight, isn't going to go and fly off like a spaceship to Mars. You understand? It's going to keep doing what? It's going to keep circling the Earth like it does. That's what it's going to keep doing. That's what it does. So now, God fixed it. Its ordinances are fixed. And the sun and moon stars for light by night, which divideth the sea, dividing to stir up the sea, and the storms of the ocean, the storms of the lake, and the storms divideth and stirs up the sea when the waves thereof roar. In other words, when there's a real storm, if you've ever seen, at least seen, and maybe not been in one, a real storm in the ocean, and the waves are huge, huge, believe me, they're huge, huge waves. And wow, God does that. That's what God did, remember, when God got in the little boat, their fishing boat, to cross over, and also elsewhere, walking. And in the process, he went and had a storm, very calm, they took off, and he had a storm come, and come down the mountains there in northern, on the Sea of Galilee, coming down the mountain, the wind picked up all the water. Wow, what a storm. And then all of a sudden, they woke him up. They were worried about dying, drowning, and the Lord just calmed it. He made it, and he stopped it, just like that. What are we saying, God? I'm in charge. I'm in charge. I put the sun, the stars, the moon, they're all there. The storms of life, if you read Job, God loves, uses the weather to correct, to teach, to do all kinds of things. In Job, it tells us God uses the weather to do all this. Then God does it. Who's in charge? God's in charge. God's in charge. Things are certain and things are sure when God is involved. So we're looking at the city to ever be built for this wonderful future to take place. How can it ever be? You can count on it. You can be certain of it because I want you to do what? You can't, God's invisible in this wonderful, matchless person, always present, but invisible. So God says, let me help you. Can you see the sun, the moon, the stars? I made them. I made them for you. You didn't need them. You don't need them. We don't read about them in new heavens and a new earth. We don't read about them. We just see them for now. They're for us, Genesis 1, for us to teach us. That's what they're for. You don't need the stars. Hang on to that one. All of these wonderful things are there. So therefore, God is going in his most wonderful way to go and help the believers understand that you need to be looking to God. And looking to God, that the sun, the moon, the stars, they all are there. They're always there. And what happens? What do we do since they're always there? Did you read the creation that we live in? The sun, the moon, the stars, when you look it out, when you look at the flowers, when you look at the birds, the bugs, the moon, the light, the sun. Do you understand that? Why it's there? What has the world done with why it's there? Among other things. Over, if I can, to Deuteronomy in chapter 4. Deuteronomy in chapter 4. And you will note in chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 19, directly in the light of the context, and lest thou lift up thine eyes, this is for idolatry, the subject is idolatry, looking at everything to make it everything but what it isn't. And verse 19, unless thou lift up thine eyes into heaven, and when thou seest the sun, the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven, should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. God has done that in a most wonderful way. And what have they done? They have gone and worshiped the sun, the moon, the stars, astrology, and everything else. We worship everything but God. So the things that God made for you to know God and honor him, they have made God. You've made God out of that which is to help you point to God. So when you do that, how are we going to get to God? We took everything that he made and we brought it down to our level to understand, and we made idols, idolatry, and everything else to man, evolution. We're the highest thing here on planet Earth, communism, evolution, socialism, etc. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and doing that, so now, God, if we took time, and we can do that a little bit anyway, over to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah in chapter 8. And you'll see it. Here's Jeremiah now. I'm going to ask myself, I'm looking at Jeremiah's wonderful chapter 31, 32. I'm looking at it, and the people with me that are around me, they don't want to hear Jeremiah. They don't want to see what God has to say about why they should be encouraged. So therefore, I'm wondering, why can't they see that simple thing? Because chapter 8, and in verse chapter 8, if I can, and in verse 2. And they shall spread, this is what, I'll read verse 1. And at that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of the princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, out of their graves. Now what are they doing? They have, in their unbelief, God is making them relook at everything. Verse 2. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and the host of heaven, because that's what they're looking for, to be their gods. So take all your bones, take all your crate, all your everything, and put it out in the sun. You believe the sun is going to help you. You believe the moon's going to help you. You believe the stars are going to help you. Then look to them. And put all your bones out there for all your history, your background, your loved ones. Put them out there and let the stars come and help them, you see? Now, in verse 2, and they shall spread them before the sun, the moon, and the stars of heaven, whom they have loved, whom they have served, after whom they have walked, whom they have sought, whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. God's going to humble them. So in the process, the people are going to have to wake up of the stupid thing they've done. They've made that which God has created to be a wonderful testimony to them. They've used that and called it God. So what? There is no God above the sun. The sun is God. The moon is God. But the sun and the moon do nothing for you. Hang on. Nothing. So, and you could go on in looking. And by the way, chapter 7, you're right next door for time's sake. Chapter 7, picking up in verse 2. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house, and that's what Jeremiah, remember, stood there, giving him all the message as they went in and out. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there the word of the Lord, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter into these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend, mend, fix, change. Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. In other words, it's destined to be ruined. Nebuchadnezzar's going to do it, but as soon as you want to see it, different. Are you going to look to me? And that's why it's settled, because they're never going to look to God. Not until the tribulation are they going to look to God. So now, Having said that, and keeping that in mind, as we go down the corridor, as it were, and looking for God to help us in every way to honor him. So here is, and by the way, I should do that part, over in chapter 19. And in chapter 19, picking up, please, in verse 13. And in 19, verse 13, the houses of Jerusalem, the houses of the kings of Judah, shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto all the host of heaven, sun, moon, and stars, and have put out drink offerings unto other gods. They have put everyone in place, a place of all of God's wonderful thing. And he is the Lord of hosts in a most wonderful way. So God, and remember, he being the Lord of hosts means that when he says he's the Lord of hosts, the word host means army, war, assembly, a great army, host. Then it means what? Easy to see, because we're going to see it. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of all creation. Everything as an army, as a great servant, everything he has created serves his interest, his will, his glory, and his honor. Everything he's created, and he is in charge. And everything is subservient to his will. The sun, the moon, the stars, angels, everything serves his wonderful purpose in a most wonderful way. Now keep that in mind, if you can. So he's the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of armies. The Lord of hosts, think of all the expressions. The Lord of hosts is with us. What does that mean? The Lord of hosts is for us. What does that mean? The Lord, who is in charge of everything. So there's nothing out there. That's what you want to start seeing as we're looking here for Jeremiah. God is in charge. Everything is at God's service. And God created it all for us guys on planet Earth. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so if verse 36, chapter 31, chapter 31 and in verse 36, if I can, and you'll catch it, not far maybe. Verse 36, if God created them all, so there's no question about that, if those ordinances, that which I've set in the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything in its order, if those ordinances depart from before me, if they disappear, the sun, the moon, the stars, if they disappear, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation from before me forever. If I can make them go away, make them all go away. But they aren't going to go away, God said. If they depart, let Israel, if they all disappear, then Israel is no more. All the promises are no good. The building, the city, all of that future, wonderful future, is not valid. But the condition to make it not valid in the light of God's word and will is make it so when you look up, take and find a day in forever when my sun isn't shining and the moon isn't at night and the stars don't exist. Find me where that doesn't exist. And then I'll tell you what I won't keep my promise. So as long as you see that, nothing to do with us, with God. God has made a commitment. His wonderful commitment, Daniel chapter 2, we did. These things are certain and sure. Israel, be encouraged. Oh, it's so bad looking what's going to happen. But in looking, God, the future is as certain as God. God is the future. So, as we're looking, verse 37, thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, cause to be measured. Take a ruler, take a count. I'm sure that's what they do. Take a count. They must take a little thing and get a telescope and, you know, and make a little count of everything out there. Okay. Take a count and measure. And not only measure the heavens, but the foundation of the earth searched out or explored beneath. Now go down through the earth. Here's 8,000 miles across diameter, I think it is. And you go down 4,000 miles to the middle or whatever and dig down through. You don't want to do that. But if you did, you'd be sorry. And you go down and you do, what are you going to find? What are you going to find down there? If you go down there, as far as you want to go. Can we do that? No, we can't do it, and we shouldn't do it, and we'll never do it. Are we going to go and measure the heavens? Never, 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 never. Never, 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 never. Count the stars. Count the stars. Count the galaxies. Galaxies. Don't count the stars. Just count the galaxies, which has trillions of stars. Just count the galaxies. But you can't. And now we've got that telescope up there, the off of Mars, sitting up there. And with a 21.5-inch, think of a pew, 21.5-inch lens, gold covered, gold, looking to see, to get a window of. And then I showed you the picture, some of the pictures, and I have them, and they take pictures from that, and wow, what have we got? We got the same thing we had from the lower level. We got this one pile of stars. And now we got a new view of another pile of stars on top of a pile of stars, a pile of galaxies. That's what we got. God, what have we got? What have we? And to boot, what are we going to do? Well, probably we're going to go and get to the moon. That's, I think, someone said. They're working on going to the moon so that what? You can start a little grocery store, and everyone that's there, you'll have the only grocery store for something, Coca-Cola, and you'll be able to sell it because no competition. You're going to have a wonderful one. And wouldn't you look forward to being in that little building in the moon, out in the moon? There's nowhere to go because you'll die. So you have to stay in this little building forever. What a wonderful thing. It'd be like going into the middle of the desert. The middle of Sahara or something, a Gobi Desert, go in one of those big deserts, and go in one of those big deserts, and we're going to build a little hut with a permanent water hole that you can have water. Now, would you want to live out there in a desert? There's no gas station, there's no tomato juice, there's no anything. You want to do that? Would you want to go live out in the ocean? Out in the ocean, out in the middle of the ocean? We're going to put a little thing out there, and you can live in a boat. A boat, a permanent boat, if you can just use your imagination. We don't. What are we doing? What are we going to do? We're going to go not only to the moon, we're trying to get to, we're trying to find ourselves. And to boot, here we got this 21.5 lens out there and on Mars, and probably we're going to go to Pluto or something out there and put another something to see further. What do we know? God said, you'll never measure it. That's what all of this is wonderfully saying. We can never measure it. Do you understand? You can never measure it, ever. That's your confirmation. You'll never measure. You can't come to the end of my stars that I threw out there. I won't let you do it. In fact, Job 9, I sealed it so you can never get there. You'll never be able to know, ever. I have sealed the limit of how far you can go and see. You'll never see the end. There is an end of the stars. but you'll never see it. I stopped it. So all of what's it saying? Be encouraged. Why? God has said the stars will disappear before I ever break a promise to you. What more could you want? Say something. Well, God gave it in His Word, and God did. God tells you to look. It's never going to disappear, and you can count on me. But the government says, evolution says, communism says, socialism, all the different things say that's true. But they're all going to disappear. They can't be. You can't measure them. You can't do anything. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, over to Ecclesiastes and chapter 1. There's more. We aren't going to be able to get there, but at least we'll do a little something to help you. You ought to be encouraged. I want you to be, you ought to be calm, collected. It's all right. Things are horrible. But it's only now. The clock's ticking. All of it has to happen. All of it has to happen. It's going to happen. But be of good cheer. I can't even get to that yet. Now, over what I just say. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And you'll please note in verse 2. Vanity of vanities. Remember, this is looking at everything on earth apart from God. Leave God out of the picture, and what do you find on planet Earth? Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, nothingness, chasing the wind. Verse 3, what profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh unto the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. We all live, everyone lives, go back, grandfather, your great-grandfather, your great-great-great-grandfather, they all lived and died. Each generation lives. The sun's the same. Moon's the same. God's the same. Truth is the same. And we're going to die or be taken up, and God's going to do a wonderful thing. What is He going to do? And we say, well, we're looking. We have all our things. No, you're missing the point. You're caught up in the everything on material earth in a material way for awesome, terrible reasons. You need to be looking to God. Everything that you see is going to pass away. Every tree, every bug, every building, everything is going to disappear ultimately. So don't be looking to it. Don't be counting on it. Look to God, because that's your future. He is the future. Now, having said that a little bit, over to chapter 3 and in verse 20. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast, animals, that go downward to the earth? We're all dust. Now hang on, you ought to be encouraged. God says, listen, you look at the stars, the guy made them, and you look at yourself, trying to find confidence, certainty, and be sure about things, and you want to do that. And you look at yourself, and you are what? We're a king, ruler, president, senator, whatever you are in the world, big Bill Gates, whatever you want to be. Wow. With everything you got, what do you got? What have you got? When you're all got, and you've got your hands full of everything that you could possibly have, and there are people like that. And what do you all got? Pretty soon, you're going to have to put them all down, and you're going to become dust. Every single person on planet Earth, apart from the Lord's return, is going to become dust. True. It's true. You're created. God created you, and He housed you in a body of dust. Genesis 2 and 7. He put you in a body of dust that's going to be replaced. We are of dust. We came from dust. We are dust. Genesis 3:19. We go back to dust. Everything is back to the dust. So where do we find this proudness, this haughtiness, that we're going to get it? We're going to do it. We're going to make it work, whatever. Wow, where are we going to get that? You really can't. Because when you're all done, 1 Timothy 6:7, you brought nothing in, and it is for certain you'll bring nothing out. You're just dust. That's all. So don't get too huffy and puffy. Relax. Relax. What's going on? True, but stand back and look. Look to God, who's letting it all work out as we've been doing Sunday and all of that, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Over to chapter 12. In the process, now, chapter 12, going directly, verse 7. Remember, we all are aging. There's nothing wrong with that. And we're all going to die. Verse 6, or ever the silver cord be broken, be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or at the wheel, broken at the cistern. Then, in other words, everything's going to fail. Then shall the dust, that's us in these bodies, return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Wow. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Didn't we get anything out of this journey on planet Earth? That's the question. Didn't we get anything out of it? So God, we're looking at God's wonderful, wonderful greatness, and God chooses to house us. Earth, our universe, sun, moon, stars, planet Earth, houses us humans. And each generation lives on this planet, and they live a little while, and the planet houses the next group of people. The next little babies come along, and they're housed on the planet until the next group, they're housed. Planet's the same, God's the same, they're just there. So either do we take advantage of our journey on planet Earth, or we don't. So in the process, God's going to go and ultimately replace the whole thing with a new heavens and a new earth. So here we are looking, and so therefore, over to Psalm 54. No, Isaiah 54. Isaiah chapter 54. And you will note, picking up in verse 7, encouragement, verse 7, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercy will I gather thee. Remember what we're reading? God's going to do a wonderful thing. It looks like God disappeared and God doesn't care. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Verse 8. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness, will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. God said, I don't want to do the flood again. That didn't pay off at all. All I had is Noah. And then Noah went out of Noah, and those people built the Tower of Babel. That didn't come out too good. So that system doesn't work. And therefore, we aren't going to do that again. But, verse 8, 10, for the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy, that hath mercy on thee. God, you're not going to let it disappear. You're not going to have it go away. No, not at all. So I want you to know, the heaven, you want to see the sun shining. And even if you want to go and I to take the mountains and disappear and the hills, and I could do all of that, I'm not going to change my rules. And in the tribulation, what do you know? Mountains are going to move and islands are going to disappear. But I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to keep my word. This is certain, the wonderful certainty and surety. I told you, just if you can't read my, don't pay attention to what I said. Just look. It's always going to be there. It always has been there. It's always going to be there. It isn't going to go away. You don't have to worry about the green effect or the warm effect or the hot or the cold effect. Don't get caught up in that baloney. It is baloney. I would say it loud in the public if I could. A lot of baloney. It's never that I read. You care about it. This is thing confirming it in 80 years or something. It will raise 0.14 degree. 104, I should say. 104. Is that hot? What happens if you, do you notice 1 degree difference? No, 70, 71? And we're caught. The system's playing the game. Now, having said that, so God, what do we know? We know that you're going to do what you're going to do in a most wonderful way, and you're going to honor your word, and that's what you're going to do. So we're going to look to you and understand that all of the yesterday has to yield to tomorrow. It doesn't have any choice. You don't have any choice. I don't have any choice. Tomorrow comes, whether you like it or not. You can't stop the clock. You can't stop the calendar. You can't stop the outworking of history. You can't stop what stupid people, you can't stop what people are doing. They're programmed toward it. And if God allows it, all you can do is sit back and say, God, help me through it, because God's allowing it, and it's going to go. That's where it's going. In the meantime, be very certain and very sure about your future, because your future, where is your future? We're in the presence of your future, God. And when I received the Lord as my Savior, I received my future. My future is in Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior. That's my future. When do I have my future? Now. All I can do is die and experience more of it. I don't get more of it. You aren't going to get more life. You aren't going to have more of God. Do you understand? What you're going to do is discover and get rid of all the hindrances that keep you from enjoying that relationship. In the millennium, that's why they will not have to tell anybody, because a lot of those hindrances are gone so that you can know. So we have this wonderful, wonderful, I got to quit, understanding, I hope, that I have no future. And I can't. I have eternal life. I did it on Sunday. How saved are you the day you got saved? Is that right? How much of God did you receive when you received Christ as your Savior? Who is God? Our everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You can't have more. I have to learn to what? Appreciate and understand we walk by faith and not by sight. I have to understand what already is, even though we're here and now, because it's going to be there and then. I got to quit. I hope you got a little. Certain. Surety. You can count on it. But, no buts. no buts about it from anybody, anywhere, any book, group, cult, whatever you want to do. There's no argument. Period. God help us.